السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن شاء الله this episode finds you in the absolute best state of health and iman, and especially iman, because we just came out of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, it's already been 2 weeks. And not gonna lie, I actually like intentionally when I had the thought of this topic, I wanted to do it during Ramadan so that it was ready like day of Eid, day after, for everyone to listen and benefit inshallah. But me being me, I've never got around to it. But subhanAllah, I'm thinking now, if I had done it back then compared to today, the message would have been completely different. We're 2 weeks out of Ramadan. And yes, the content of like, okay, Ramadan has left us, what are the next steps, would have been like very similar. SubhanAllah, it's like, I felt like I need this message today, like more than anything, I need this message that I'm giving to you. And like, as I've mentioned before, majority of what I say is either like a reminder to myself directly where I am at right now and the conversations I have with myself, or it's how I spoke to myself before, or how I would have liked someone to speak to me. So, Al-Muhim, it's very, I don't know, like if this is self-centered, but in a good way, I hope. Like it's centered around like what I need to hear, what I think people need to hear, what I would have liked to have heard, if that makes sense. So, coming out of Ramadan, 2 weeks, and like, what's next? What's going on, Raz? Like, literally, I sat, not sat down with myself. I sat down with my friend who's a school counselor. She's gonna be on, or she, yeah, she's gonna be on a couple of episodes. And we are planning sort of like a post Ramadan, like catch up. And also, even with our halaqas up here, we're planning to have a halaqa afterwards, like, okay, Ramadan's over now. What's next? So, this is a topic that's like I should be preparing for. And I just wanted to speak with you guys. Like, we had our pre Ramadan talk. And alhamdulillah, many of you benefited. But okay, let's see where that benefit actually got us. Like, did it actually prepare you? Did it actually do anything? Did Ramadan even change us? Like, where are we at right now? And so this is sort of, as I said, a message to myself first and foremost. And inshallah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this message, this reminder, to reach the hearts of whoever needs it. And I pray that it ignites something back up in us, because we all need it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, remind for reminders benefit the believers. So that's sort of the hadaf, the intention of behind this episode. And so straight off the bat, like, how was your Ramadan? Subhanallah, I sat down with my friend and we asked ourselves this today. And I don't know, I'm like speechless. I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm so disappointed that I didn't do more. I felt like I was robbed, because uni was like peak assignment session, and work, like working with a charity, Ramadan is like peak time as well, where, you know, you're trying to encourage people to donate as much as they can so they can get as much reward. So in both busy aspects of my life, it was like peak. And but subhanAllah, at the same time, you know, like, this is literally a conversation I'm having with myself and with her. It's like, yeah, okay, that's what was going on in your life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed for you to be in that moment of your life specifically. Maybe you can't get off work, or, you know, what about those mothers that have six kids, my mom, that have six kids to run around for and to feed and all that kind of stuff? Like, what, like, if everyone had an excuse, then no one would get anything done. You were in that situation, and you are in this situation right now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined for you to be there. The rewards and the benefits that you are going to get is what you're going to do with that time right then and there. So what did you do with your time right then and there in Ramadan, and what are you going to do now? And as I said, like, we all, like, Ramadan just flew. Ramadan literally just flew by. You know, like, the first minute, it was like, the moon's been sighted, tomorrow's Ramadan. And then the, like, next second, it's like, the moon's been sighted, tomorrow's Eid. And it's like, what? Like, I didn't even get to say Bismillah. And subhanAllah, like, this year, Ramadan was different for me in the sense that I spent more time at home and, like, praying more at home. And, like, I felt last year, I encouraged going to the masjid and praying behind the imam, and like, there's something about it in the nights of Ramadan that nothing can compare to. But subhanAllah, for myself, I felt as if I didn't develop that habit of praying at home in the month of Ramadan, last Ramadan. So when the year came by, I barely prayed extra night prayers at home. And I'm like, Raz babes, what's going on? Like, in Ramadan, you prayed every single night for hours behind the imam, but during the year, you couldn't even do like an extra couple of night prayers by yourself. Like, what's going on? And alhamdulillah, this year, like, I started like memorizing a bit of Quran. So I'm like, now you've even got the surahs. There's no excuse. So alhamdulillah, in that sense, I'm very happy with that. But generally, I think all of us can say that Ramadan just flew by. Ramadan just flew by, and it's gone. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts every single deed that we did in the month of Ramadan. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as and our deeds and our donations, like especially on the night of Laylatul Qadr. But right now, I want you to ask yourself, what did you add to your Jannah bag in the month of Ramadan? Like, what things did you add? Did you increase in your prayers? Maybe, you know, once a week you went to the masjid and you did taraweeh. Maybe you did a couple of extra prayers at home, or at least maybe you were on time with your prayers, or maybe you did all your prayers, or maybe you did more prayers than you usually do. SubhanAllah, this is the thing with like giving da'wah online. You never ever know who you're speaking to. And so there's like levels of people out there, and everyone's on their own journeys. There could be someone that, you know, inherited Islam from their family members, but has never ever like properly done a full 5 day of prayers. And there's some people that right now are probably listening to this that pray every single prayer with their sunnah prayers, but they're just feeling a bit lazy towards it. Like, there's a big spectrum of people, and whoever you are, and this message is hitting you, just wherever you are now, don't compare yourself to anyone else, but compare yourself to the bare minimum standard that Islam has set, and compare yourself to who you were yesterday, who you were last month, who you were before Ramadan. That's sort of the baseline, that just block out everything and everyone. Yes, it's good to have like people to look up to as inspiration, but you and you. You and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires for you to be, the bare minimum of Islam, our 5 daily prayers, like especially the Fajr prayer that a lot of people miss, that's something that you should aim, like those, like the bare minimum foundations of Islam should be non-negotiables for you. But at the same time, where were you yesterday and who are you going to be tomorrow? So that's just thinking about the stuff that you added in the month of Ramadan. You added your prayers, you added, you know, you recited Quran more often. Like, you maybe the whole year went by and you didn't even touch the Quran, you didn't even read the Quran. And then in the month of Ramadan, you know, maybe 3-4 out of the days of the whole entire month, you read a couple of ayats of Quran, or maybe you stopped listening to music. So when it comes to looking at Ramadan and the deeds that we did, let's look at the stuff that we didn't do as well. So always look at it in a like evil, astaghfirullah, in an even scale. What did you add and what did you leave? And as we talked about in the pre-Ramadan episode, sometimes leaving something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually harder than doing things. So for example, you just went by the whole entire month of Ramadan. But maybe you didn't give up your bad manners of speaking to your parents. Maybe you didn't give up, you know, speaking to that boy that you're not supposed to be speaking to. Maybe you didn't give up posting those photos of yourself online that you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe you didn't give up music. Yeah, you increased in Quran. Yeah, you gave up your food and water for like over 12 hours in the whole entire day, but you couldn't give up that music. You couldn't give up speaking to that person. You couldn't give up posting that thing. Like, every single one of us has stuff that we can leave for the sake of Allah. And whether it be something haram, or whether it be the halal that you give up, because there are different levels. That's why Jannah is different levels. It's not the same. There can be someone that is struggling and they need to give up haram. That's their step. That's the journey that they need to take. And then there could be some people who don't have like clearly haram things that they need to give up. But you know what? They might spend, keeping myself, they might spend too much money on food and chicken wings and chicken burgers. Like, seriously, like, control your nafs, because at the same, like, it's not haram, right? But there's a certain level and a certain place I want to be, and I'm only going to get to that place if I don't let my nafs control me. My nafs wants chicken burgers whenever like we see a drive-through of like a halal chicken shop. No. Like, I don't know if this is making sense, but there's the two aspects of what you add and what you leave. So inshallah, ya Rab, you added a lot of good deeds in the month of Ramadan, and you were more conscious, which is the taqwa that fasting gives you. And inshallah, you left a few things as well. And straight away on the day of Eid, like, all of that changed. And from now till Ramadan, how have you changed? Like, from Ramadan till now, how have you changed? How did Ramadan change you? Did it even change you, man? Like, do you feel any different? Are you any different? Like, in your feelings, in your actions, in any metric you can measure yourself from Ramadan to now, did anything change? Like, okay, we talked about what we added, but what were the effects of what you added? Yes, as I said, giving da'wah online is very hard because you don't know who is listening to this, and people are at different levels. And as I said, the reminders that I give are more so for myself. And I want every single one of you to have high standards for yourself, for your deen. Like, do not be stingy with your deen. Do not, you know, go work 50 hours a week and go to uni like another 30 hours or whatever you do, and then invest in your deen like an hour or two. No, like, one the same way you want the best degree, the same way you want a high-paying job, the same way you want successful family members, you want a righteous spouse, you want like amazing children, amazing cars, or whatever, you want the best of the best. Why not want the best of the best for your akhirah? Why are we so stingy and like hesitant and like very diligent and cautious when it comes to, pursuing more like more barakah and more amazing things through our deen? So as I'm saying, like I'm speaking in a sense that it might come off a bit harsh to some people, but know that it's because like I literally want the best for you. I want you to want more for yourself. I want you to hold yourself more accountable. I don't even know where I was going on this. SubhanAllah, but that's sort of like the general gist that I want everyone to hear my messages with. But yeah, so like from Ramadan to now, how have you changed? Yep, you increased in prayer, Quran, you put hijab onto the mosque and all that kind of stuff. But from day of Eid, did it phew, all just out the window? What changed? Literally, what changed? You tell me what has changed about you since the month of Ramadan. Think about it for a second. Like, how has your character been? How has your patience been? How heavy do you feel towards your salah? All the du'as that you made, like, are you following through with them? Like, Ya Allah, I want this X, Y, and Z. Are you expecting X, Y, and Z? Some things, we just ask Allah because He's the King of all kings and He can give us anything, everything that we want. But for example, if you're asking and making dua like that you need to follow up with, for example, Ya Allah, make me from the people of the Quran. Ya Allah, help me memorize Quran. Have you made any like goals towards that step? Have you made any steps towards that goal? There's some things that you need to put a lot of work into and like you need a sacrifice for it because there's some things that it does not come easy. If it was easy, everyone would have it. But you're sincere. You asked Allah for the things you wanted, you ask Allah. If you ask Allah, Ya Allah, help me be more practicing. Ya Allah, help me put the hijab on. Ya Allah, help me perfect my hijab. Ya Allah, help me leave music. Ya Allah, put the love of the Quran in my heart. Ya Allah, elevate my ranks. Ya Allah, give me the highest levels of Jannah. The fact that you asked Allah, Allah let you make that dua. Every single dua you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you make that dua. That's just like beautiful in and of itself. Like, Alhamdulillah, Allah let you make that dua. And then you make that dua. So Allah put it in your heart to make that dua. He gave you the ability. He allowed for you to ask Him. And now, what's the next step? You walk to Allah, Allah runs to you. What are the steps that you need to take to walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that goal, in that dua that you asked Him for? You made dua, Ya Allah, help me become a person of the Quran. Okay, you made that dua. Search for a Quran class, increase in your Quran class, find a buddy to help you continually read the Quran and reflect upon the Quran every single day. Quran and music cannot live in the same heart. Leave that music. Quran and a heart that has like backbiting, a heart that has gossip, and a heart you really need to cleanse your heart. You can't be talking smack and expect to have wahi just, live in your heart. That's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to purify your heart. You need to purify yourself. There's steps that you need to take. And so that sort of like pathway and that like scaffolding of like the different steps, apply that to every single thing that you made dua for. There's some things that are only in the hands of Allah, and you just increase and you increase and you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are many things that you have to do yourself. If you ask Allah for the highest levels of Jannah, like you're literally asking like to be tested, not in a direct sense, but if you want the highest levels of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, do you think that you'll be admitted into paradise without being tested like the people before you? Like, no way, like we're gonna be tested, but ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness as well. Ask Allah for contentment in every single situation that He puts you in. And just have that mindset towards going into it. And, as we talked about in the pre-Ramadan episode, we realized that fasting gives us taqwa. Fasting gives us that God consciousness. And that attaining that God consciousness allows us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single thing that we do. Like you fasted the month of Ramadan and you gave up food and water, like your basic human necessities. You gave that up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when you were in a room by yourself and no one was looking, and you had a glass of water right behind your bed, and you were so thirsty, or you saw like a donut. Man, I was fasting and my sister wasn't fasting, and she was in my room and she was having a donut, the little rat, she was having a donut, and she left like half of it there. And I'm fasting right, like I'm going to like take my afternoon nap, and I see that donut and I'm like, oh. Like this woman's testing me. But it's like you didn't eat that donut. You didn't have that drink of water, even though only you were there. No one else was there. Even if you were to bite that donut, even if you were to drink that glass of water, no one would have known. But you knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching you. That's the taqwa that you gained. And how have you allowed it to transform and emit to every single aspect of your life? You were so God conscious. As much as you wanted that water, as much as you wanted that donut, you didn't have it. Why? Because you knew that you weren't allowed to at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited from you, and you knew that He was watching. Even when no one else was in the room, you knew that Allah was watching. You were God conscious. So that taqwa that you gained in the month of Ramadan, where is it? Has it disappeared? Is it declining already? Just look at yourself. Like, for example, how did you act on the day of Eid and every single day after? Like, did you go back to listening to that music? That heart that you are asking Allah to purify, that soul you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah for, are you corrupting it already? Like, straight away on the day of Eid, we're already like doing our Eid transitions and putting all the makeup on in the world and making ourselves look the best and prettiest, and it's cool, go for it, do it. But posting it online for thousands of people to see, what are you doing, man? Like, we just left Ramadan. There are some things that like you should have at least like had the intention not to do. But the thing that we always get wrong is like we enter Ramadan knowing that we're going to make those Eid transitions and post our Eid fits and make ourselves look so beautiful for millions of people to see. And go for it. Go make yourself pretty. But like, why are you putting it online? Like, you wouldn't post your photo or you wouldn't post your Eid fit and video if you looked ugly and fat. No, you made yourself look your best and you posted it on there. And what did you get? A couple of likes. Oh my God, sister, Allahumma barak. Oh my God, mashallah, the nur. Babe, that's not nur. That's highlight, man. I can fake the nur. I can put it on a kafir and make them look like the Eiffel Tower, like all glowing. Like, come on, man. Straight away in the month of Ramadan, you're already planning to go back to the sins that you went to, that you left temporarily. Ramadan isn't a pause. Ramadan is that glimpse showing you what you can attain, showing you, okay, yeah, you might not be able to like run to your daily prayers every single day, but you stood up hours behind the imam reciting Quran. That shows that you have something in you and you can do it. You tried to adhere to hijab in the month of Ramadan because it's a blessed month and you did do it. So try your best to continue that hijab. Like, you gained that taqwa, and that taqwa, that God consciousness, is supposed to transfer in every aspect of your life. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa in Allah, whoever is conscious of Allah, Allah will find them a way out. Yeah, you might be succumbing to like the social media trends and you see all your friends putting up their Eid transitions and their Eid fits. And like, I'm with you. I feel so left out when I see like all these beautiful girls and like all like they're, you know, they're showing everything and they make me feel like I'm missing something. They make me feel like I'm missing out by covering myself. They make me feel like I'm missing out when I'm not posting something online. They make me feel less beautiful because they're showing a bit more neck in their hijab and, you know, their like makeup is on point. But remember, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And it's as, I don't want to say pathetic. When I say pathetic, I'm talking to myself. As pathetic as it is, this is one of your forms of jihad. Like, so sad. It's honestly so sad. Women in Gaza are sleeping in their prayer clothes because they don't want to be like found dead, uncovered. Just look at the parallel, man. Look at the parallel and look at what we're doing. Like, women in Gaza are covering their bodies so that if they are to be found dead, they're not uncovered. Why are you making the day that you die the only day you are in proper hijab? The day that you are fully covered? Like, where are you going? Where? I don't know, this is like going in like a roller coaster, but seriously, like, where are you going? When you're posting that video on social media, when you're posting to get those likes, maybe a guy's gonna notice you and slide into your DMs. And then what? Like, what did you get out of it? Like, you're literally displeasing Allah. Allah is the one that blessed you with that phone. Allah is the one that blessed you with that beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with that stability that you have in your household, that you are able to spend hours getting ready and go out to like random streets and take photos. And He gives you that phone and that connection and all of that. And you are just like, astaghfirullah, like chucking it in Allah's face. And like, yeah, you gave me these blessings, but I'm going to use them to disobey you. As I said, I'm harsh because this is how I used to speak to myself. And it's the only way that it made me like take a step back. And I don't know how we just dillied into this topic, but I think it was like more so on the day of Eid, like how quickly you did that 360. All those promises and all those things that you asked Allah for just went out the window. And it's not too late. Like, I'm not a gremlin that's like, ah, it's so bad, go die. No. Every single son of Adam is a sinner. And the best of the sinners are the ones that repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I love the ones who repent. In Allah yuhibbu tawabin. Like if you didn't repent, how would you gain access to Allah's love in that sense? Like Allah loves the people that repent. And you have to do something wrong to repent. Like you don't repent from doing good deeds. Like you say astaghfirullah and you seek Allah's forgiveness from the shortcomings of the deeds that you did for His sake, but you sincerely repent when you've done something wrong. And Ismin Mujahid always uses that example of like a car driving and you take a wrong turn and you know the GPS usually reroutes you. But as you're driving and you take a wrong turn, you don't just be like, oh, I'm a bad driver. I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to do anything. And you turn the car off and you sit there. No, you reroute and you make a chukka-yui and get back onto the right road. And that's sort of like the parallel of like how we are as repenters. You're trying your hardest to stay on the right path, but you are going to slip. You don't just, you know, shaitan tells you, you suck, you're a loser, stay there. Why even bother going to go back? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates you. You've already done so wrong. You might as well just keep going. No, you say, shut up, shaitan. And you get up and you reroute and you come back. And that rerouting essentially is tawbah, is like seeking Allah's repentance, is like repenting. And so you come back onto the right path and you go straight again and you head towards that, you're on that sirat al-mustaqim, you're on that straight path and you're going to go off a gazillion times. Like yesterday and today wasn't the only time you're going to slip. Like you're going to keep on slipping. But in Allah, yuhibbu tawabin. Indeed, Allah loves the ones that repent. So keep repenting. Like recognizing what's wrong and what's right is step one, not being arrogant in that sense. Because if you don't think what you're doing is wrong in the first place, like there's no hope to go back. You need to realize what is right and wrong. So you realize that is wrong. And you realize where you want to be, what the goal is. Okay, I want to be someone that doesn't do X, Y, and Z, and that does Y, Z, and B. And then you make those plans. But if you don't recognize what's right and wrong, and if you don't recognize where you want to be, there's setting yourself up for failure. You can want to be, and you can want to do as much as you want, but you're not going to get anywhere if you don't have certain like standards for yourself. And as I said, want the highest standards for yourself. Want to be the most righteous person. Want to be the person that is closest to Allah. Want to be the person that is the closest friend to Allah. Want to be the person that just goes about this life worrying about nothing but Allah. Like having that contentment down packed, locked in their heart, and going through every single day just relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Want to be that person that is so connected to the Quran. Want to be that person that, you know, strives to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single second of their life, and want to be that person that gets to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that gets to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and in Jannah, and be in the highest levels of Jannah, and be kicking back with their friends and family, and like chilling with Musa alayhi salam, and being like, yo, Maryam alayhi salam, I heard about it. Like, I want all these things for yourself. Have high aspirations when it comes to your deen. Think amazing thoughts of Allah, and whatever you ask for Him, ask from Him with certainty. Want these things for yourself. Like literally want them. And as you want them, you make dua for them and you take those steps to trying to achieve them. So now, as we've just reflected a bit on how we are since Ramadan, and the scary thing is that we were talking about today is that we feel like, for myself, for example, I felt like I didn't do enough. And I felt like already that I've let go of so much. And I've already disappointed myself and fell short in all the goals that I wanted to continue outside of the month of Ramadan. And the sad thing is, if you don't do anything about it, it's only going down from here. And it's natural to have that spiritual high and then go down. Like Ramadan is where you're supposed to be the highest, and or at least it's supposed to be a catalyst for you to being at, you know, your highest levels of Iman. But the sad thing is, like, okay, right now you've left the month of Ramadan, you did X, Y, and Z, and you're already dropping this and that. And the sad thing is, it's only going down until the next Ramadan, or, you know, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are upon us very soon as well. And that's going to pick us up, inshallah. But it's only going to go down. Like, being stagnant is a very scary thing as well. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Like, there's no stagnancy. I don't even know if that's a word, but you understand, yeah? Inshallah. So like now Ramadan is done. What are the next steps? So just think of deeds that you can continue. Think of deeds that you did and you can continue. Like one of the signs of your Ramadan being accepted is that you are continuing and being steadfast upon the deeds that you started in the month of Ramadan. Like keep, like the Sahaba, they used to, what, like the 6 months after Ramadan, they used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray that their deeds were accepted in the month of Ramadan, and the following 6 months they made dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to reach the month of Ramadan. But like, they were very conscious about what was done and not done in this blessed month. And I don't think we value Ramadan enough. I feel like it's become sort of like a trend. It's a very weird way to describe it, but it's become this event that everyone is so keen for. And like, brother, the West is capitalizing on us so bad. Like, literally, like, what? For example, here in Sydney, Australia, we have like the Lakimba night markets, and we have all these businesses booming and having these night markets and these night shops and these night stalls and these Ramadan sales and consumerism, consumerism, consumerism. And it's like you wonder when and how did Christmas become so capitalized? And then you literally see it happening. Like, the same government that is sending money to bomb Gaza is the same government that is saying, Ramadan Kareem, we would love to have like an iftar dinner with you guys. Get lost. Like, seriously, get lost. Like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, they don't care about the meaning or the essence of it. They're like, okay, how can we get these Muslim people to vote for us? Let's have dinner with them and let's shut them up with a sponsored date or two. Like, get lost, honestly. Sorry, that's a side topic. It is something that just like boils my blood. But yeah, so I don't know where we were going. I struggle with trying to like, I don't even have a topic to start with. Like, my notes, I'm literally looking at them. It literally says, how was it? How have you changed? What's next? And then, because I can't like plan word for word what I'm going to say, like the waffle just comes. But then with the waffling, there's a lot of sidetracking. So forgive me for my shortcomings. Inshallah, we'll get like to a solid way in the future. I think I might put like a timer on and like a 20-minute timer, like, don't you dare speak more than this. And that way, what I say is going to be like very cut to the chase. But khair, inshallah. Once again, another sidetrack. Anyways, what's next now? So you started praying more in the month of Ramadan. You started praying like full stop in the month of Ramadan. Maybe it was the first time you prayed like ever. Maybe it was the first time you properly prayed. Maybe it was the first time you woke up for Fajr. Ramadan, like every single morning when you woke up for Suhoor, that is if you woke up for Suhoor, it showed you that you can wake up before Fajr. And during that time before Fajr is the time of the Hajr. In that last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down and he's literally looking down at us and he's like, which of my servants is asking for what so that I can give it to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right there at that time. So depends on where you were before Ramadan, how you were in Ramadan. Set your goals now based off that. If like, I can't tell someone who didn't even pray their five daily prayers in the month of Ramadan, maybe it was their first time praying in the month of Ramadan, to start doing your Maghrib and Isha Sunnahs every single day. No, waking up for Fajr is your priority. So you know where you are. As I said, there's the basic foundations of Islam, the five daily prayers. And then it's doing those five daily prayers on time and then adding to it as well. We learned the hadith, Ayyul Amali Ahabba ila Allah. And then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, As-salah ala waqtiha. I think so. Like, I'm trying to think of it. One of the companions asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which deed is most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, praying your prayers on time. And then the man asked, like, and then what? And then he said, al-birrul walidain, like being good to your parents. And then what? And then he said, al-jihad fi sabilillah, like jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm trying to say is like the first one, the most beloved deed to Allah is your prayers on time. So work on your prayers, then work on your prayers on time, and then add to it. Add to the, learn the sunnah prayer, like where it is and what time. And so the sunnah prayers is 2 rakats before Fajr. Then it's, I think it's 4 rakats before Dhuhr and 2 rakats after Dhuhr. And then it's 2 rakats after Maghrib and 2 rakats after Isha. Don't overwhelm yourself. Start with the Fajr prayer. Start with your prayers on time. And then like my recommendation would be the 2 sunnah prayers before Fajr, because the Prophet ﷺ says that praying those 2 rakats before Fajr, before you pray the Fajr Salah, is like better than the world and everything it contains. And honestly, if you get into that routine of waking up before Fajr, making dua at that time, and then when the adhan goes off, you pray that sunnah, and then you pray Fajr, that is like the most solid like foundation you can have to your day. So start there. If you did hours in Taraweeh, at least do 2 rakats of the night prayer every single night. Like the night prayer is something that just elevates you. It takes you to a whole nother level. Like you feel like this is the world and you just feel like you are here in the sense of like your contentment and the seclusion that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that you speak to him at that night, because it's only you and him. So focus on your night prayers. If you read the Quran in the month of Ramadan and you managed to do a khatma, or you opened the Quran for the first time, or you heard the Quran for the first time, continue your Quran every single day. Now, you know how with the prayer, there was like different goals for different people. The Quran for every single one of you should be every single day. And then the quantity varies. Some people read, if you're just starting off, read 5 minutes every single day. 5 minutes every single day. You can stick to it. It's like literally you've got 24 hours in the day and you can't give 5 minutes for the Quran. There's something wrong with what we're doing. You can commit to 5 minutes every single day, whether it be listening on YouTube, whether it be reading the English translation or reading the Arabic and English, whatever, read 5 minutes a day. And then with wherever you are at, increase it. After 1 month, make it 20 minutes a day. After another month, make it 30 minutes a day. But whatever you do, be consistent upon the amount that you pick first and then add to it. For example, yeah, you might be able to do 1 hour every single day from the get-go. Start with 30 minutes every single day. After you've accomplished like a whole month or two reading the Quran 30 minutes every single day, some days you might do 4 hours, some days you might only be able to do 30 minutes. But al-muhim, the 30 minutes is what you do not go under. Like, no matter what, that's your 30 minutes every single day of you and the Quran. Al-muhim, like you read a lot of Quran in the month of Ramadan and you reflected upon it, continue that in whatever quantity you are able to do consistently, but be sure to have that goal that you want to do more and you want to build upon it. Fasting. We are 2 weeks into the month of Shawwal, well, 2 weeks from when I'm recording this. And the Prophet ﷺ said that fasting 6 days in this month, in addition to the 30 days you fasted in the month of Ramadan, it's as if you had fasted the whole entire year. 6 days out of this whole month, you can fast it. Continue your fasting. And that's not just something that you want to do in this month, but outside of this, the month of Shawwal as well. Like, you can do a Monday every single month. Like, have that one. Like, don't let Ramadan come around and it's the only time that you're fasting. Like, keep that. And especially fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, it's for me and the reward is with me. Like, He hasn't even mentioned how many rewards or what you're going to get. Like, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the most merciful. So can you imagine the rewards and the impact your fasting is going to have on your life when you just do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So continue with that. And it's really easy and it's more helpful to do all of this stuff as a community. That's why you see in Ramadan, it's easier to like do more because everyone else is doing it. And so the advice that I'd give from that is like, find a friend, find someone, find a friend, even if your mom or your siblings, like get closer together through this stuff and like be like, okay, the first Monday of every month, we're going to fast together. Okay, I'm going to read 5 minutes of Quran every day. You're going to read 30 minutes of Quran every day. Every single day, let's just send each other a tick to hold each other accountable. Or you know what, I want to build towards this project. Let's aim to build a water well in 6 months and let's call all of our friends and family together to donate towards this. Or, you know, every month, let's have one night and we just, you know, pray like a couple of extra rakats after Isha. Like whatever it is, find someone to help you with it and make lots of dua. Like lots and lots of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can't remember who it was, but he sat him down and he was like, look, like he called him in a sense of love and he was like, I love you for the sake of, I can't remember exactly, inshallah I'm going to post the hadith, but he said, do not ever leave a single prayer except that you say Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. This is something, a dua that we're supposed to say after every salah, and it's literally asking Allah, Ya Allah, help me remember you more, help me be more grateful to you, and help me in perfecting my worship towards you. So that just goes to show, if we're supposed to be saying that after every single farz salah, like imagine the importance it has. And like look at that in the sense of how that's supposed to like be our attitude every single day, if that makes sense. You need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the fact that you fasted in the month of Ramadan, Allah allowed for you to. The fact that you prayed extra prayers, Allah allowed for you to. So you ask Allah to help you in being steadfast. And as I said, like, it's only your deeds and your attitude and your character is only going to decline unless you do something about it. How were you in the month of Ramadan? What changes did you see? And who do you want to be? Upcoming Ramadan, who do you want to be entering in the next month of Ramadan? That's even if we get another chance to enter in the month of Ramadan. So just, like, you can do better. You can do so much better. Want more for yourself. Like, the biggest form of self-love is, like, caring enough about your akhirah. And you're not where you want to be, but that's good that you know there is some place that you want to be. You know that there is this Muslimah that you want to be. You know that there is a certain level of worship that you want to achieve. You know that your purpose on this life is to worship Allah, and you want to become more confident in order to leave the things that don't please Him and to pick up more things that please Him. And the fact that you have that in your heart, Allah put it there. Now it's upon you to take those steps, because if you walk to Allah, Allah will run to you. You just have to take those steps. And it comes down to you taking action and being accountable every single day. And up until the day that you die, you are in this constant battle of struggling between what Allah wants and what the people are wanting from me and what your nafs, what your desires want. And wallahi, every single time you pick what Allah wants, you will never ever lose. So Ramadan's over, but that doesn't mean the increase of your good deeds should be over as well. Want more for yourself as a Muslim, want the highest levels of Jannah for yourself and your loved ones, and make those changes. Make those changes. Jazakallahu khairan. I'd love to hear your reflections as well. How you plan to change after the month of Ramadan, and the ways that you plan to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what helps you as well. And inshallah that someone is guided and benefited through your reflections. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.